So last time we talked about, fleshing out some of the details a bit more, right? In terms of how you manage the metadata for various operations. So have you had some chance to or time to do that?
We did the report for a virtual assistant. It was a bit right, like 11 pages.
Okay.
So we put some changed the algorithms. Like we put some algorithms in our OS report also, and we changed those algorithms a little bit according to our discussion. Like we didn't put the mFence in the mFence operation in our report actually for the OS class, because we already wrote that earlier. So for the virtual assistant class, we put an mFence before and after the after updating the status bit.
Right.
And we actually tried to describe the process, how these operations are atomic for each of the system calls. For like when the system crash happens in between some operations, if the system or the operating system is consistent or not after a system reboot. So, and then we looked at the MMap system calls for the EXT3, and I also looked for a very smaller version of primitive version of MMap for RDF file system. So what we found is that we can use the memory functions, memory routines like the page offset, do mmap page offset, which is actually called when mmap is invoked, mmap system call. So this takes the text parameter for the file and the offset of the file. So we have already added a regions, NVM region in the task tab. So we can make another copy of the another version of the routine, and just change the page offset as you suggested to page number, sorry, page number to page offset from that.
Then you can use the existing.
And this is actually used to create a new region, not region, BMA area for the process. So it,
Or expand an existing VMA area,
yes.
depending on the offset.
Yes. So there are many functions for this MMP. But what we intend to do is initially create a simple version to use the existing call, the mmap, just change the format, and this only creates a reserves a portion like in the VM area. So what we have to do is for the file systems, they create a mapping from the disk to the memory space. So we have to create a mapping between the kernel and the process address space. So we already found that there is a mapping function which can be used. Like it is used with IO, the IO remap, which can be mapped from kernel address space to process address space. So for now, the plan is to use the existing kernel functions, modify the do mmap page off, and then try to use IO remap to map the kernel to the, sorry, kernel address space to the memory address space, that portion of the region. And then we'll try to actually, the next step is to track the changes to the pages after we map these regions to the process address space. So
Track the changes.
That we can see which pages are written.
Okay.
So we need to know which pages have to be copied. We have for which pages we have to make a copy after an msync.
Right. So I think there the processor support will help, right? Because there are dirty bits that are being said by the processor when pages get written into.
Yes.
Um,
From the follow-up function of PageMaker, it says that...
Can you tell me what function it is again?
PageMakeWrite.
MakeWrite.
Yes.
Okay.
You can register this function, callback function. And when a page is modified, this function is called.
This is actually, I think, for writing the RAM pages to the hard disk pages.
When a process writes its parcel, it is mapped. So it says that if the page is read-only, then when if the process tries to write, then this function callback is.
So we could use this.
So in file system, they also use this page maker. In the time, they copy the virtual page to the disk.
Well, one of the things that you need to be careful about is how frequently is the process being interrupted to deal with all these faults. I think the processor support, the hardware support exists already. That without any trap into the OS, you can register all the pages that get written just using the dirty bit. So then the question is, when it's time for an fsync, how do you scan through all the pages to find out which pages are dirty, right? And you want to make that process efficient as much as you can, but it's not in the critical path because you're not doing that on every write. And that's the key, that every write that the process does is not being trapped into the OS, right? It's just goes about doing all these write operations. The hardware registers all the dirtiness. And then when time for fsync comes, then maybe you can take more time to do all the scanning and doing the copy and write operations. So the key would be to move all as much of the processing out of the critical normal execution path as possible.
So when there is a write to a page initially, so it's clean and then it becomes ready.
Yes.
Then we have to make a copy of the page.
Do you need to make a copy at that time is the question?
Yes, that's what I'm asking. If we have to make a copy at that time.
Copying a page would be faster, I think. Copying a page would be faster, but if you want to copy the whole region, that would take more time.
So, I understand what you're saying, and the conventional copy and write approach does exactly that, which is on the first write, you make a copy, but then all subsequent writes go through without any problem. So, and that is reasonable, because every write is not going to be in the critical path. Only the first write to a page will be trapped into the US, and that's fine. But you could do that. And if you do that, then you already know which pages are dirty because you registered that first fault and stored the information that this page X was modified.
Yeah. Okay. You can find more when we start writing.
Yeah. And so let's say that you have all the list of all dirty pages at the time of fsync. What is the task of the fsync?
Flush all the pages.
Flush? Do we need to flush it?
Basically, for the conventional file system, they just call
fsync. Right. So in our case, it's a PM sync. Right. So what does a PM sync do?
Just to change the pointer from the dirty page. From the previous page to the newly created page, the snapshot pointer.
The snapshot pointer.
The current pointer is already pointing to the new page.
Yes.
So we just have to change all the pointers to the new page from the snapshot. from the snapshot.
Mm. And since you already have all the pages linked up, then the data structure that keeps track of whether a page, you know, the current and snapshot pointers. Oh, you need parent. Because the current and snapshot pointers are in the parent, right?
Yes.
Not in
yes.
the page itself.
No. We have to actually, in some cases, do three levels of copying. Because we have three level of indexation, so in some cases we have to copy three pages, four pages, including the page itself.
And that happens at fsync?
No.
No.
That happens at the copying.
At the write?
Yes.
Right.
Because at the time of the write, you need to, the first write to a page, you need to change the current pointer.
Yes.
Right? Because you make a copy, and the copy is a snapshot.
Yes.
And the existing page continues to be the current.
Yes.
Right? And then that information, how do you get to that information? Because that's in the parent page.
Because then we have to actually... We make a copy of the last page, then we see if the, then we have to actually current the snapshot, connect the snapshot to that new page, the copied page. So we have to actually recreate the links.
I understand, but that, those two pointers, the current and snapshot pointers, are in a different page.
Yes.
How do you get to that page? How do you know which page is the parent page? That points to the page that just got, there's a page that just got modified, right?
Yes.
And then there is a, in a parent, there is a snapshot pointer and a current pointer, both of which are pointing to this page.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to modify those pointers up there. So those are in a different page.
Yes, but they're in the R node, so actually we know,
you know
which page number.
You know the page number, but
both
the only thing you get when you get a fault is a page address. So virtual address.
Yes.
We can store metadata in a VM area struct.
Mm.
There is a field like private data.
Okay.
So we can store some metadata to forget this region from virtual address.
Okay, that sounds like a reasonable thing to do.
Also in file system, they also maintain private data in file struct.
Mm.
Something like that. Again, in our NVM region, we also can have a field like private data.
So we keep the page number in the private.
Yeah.
The
VMA
area has could have several pages, which may be contiguously mapped,
yes.
and therefore create a single contiguous VMA area, but those page numbers could be discontinuous inside the region. So that private pointer inside the VMA area may need to be more significant data structure than just a number.
Mm.
That's a word pointer, so you can...
Yeah, you can do whatever you want there.
But you actually need to track the page address to the page number.
Mm-hmm.
That's the goal.
Mm-hmm. That VMA area also needs to have some additional information. For instance, what is the region? Which region is this?
That it contains.
It contains that already.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So, yeah, I think there are lots of details here that will get sorted out as you start implementing. But it seems like you have a good grasp of what needs to be done. And now the main task is, you know, actually going through the implementation, and which may uncover a few new issues, but we won't know about them until you go through that process, that initial pass. So do you have like a plan for what you want to implement, what you want to start, and then how you want to progress, which functions go first, and so on?
I think we can start from modifying the do MF page from the system goals, actually from the MF2 system call, which is existing in the kernel. So okay. It calls the do MF page of, which actually does the VMA area creation or works with VMA.
But the path between the system call and the do MF function, is that sorted out already?
Yes, I saw that there's just two or three function calls, which basically the first system call stuff, routine actually validates the file or the offset or the virtual address, some this sort of things. Then it calls the do MF page of. So the do MF page of then actually does the mapping between the, so it creates a VM area and links it to an existing area if available, or creates a new one. Then it it calls the file system operation, which actually does mapping between the mapping between the disk and the process address space. So
okay,
so I think we can start from the top and try to make two paths, like for the there's already a path.
One thing which you should think about is, let's say you implement the MMAP. Is there a way for you to test it? Do you have the other things sorted out? Like, for instance, opening a region, allocating a page, so that you can get to the MMAP. You do have that already. Okay.
We need to make some modifications, like delete to free the page.
Either.
I think the last discussion.
Yes.
Yeah.
A couple of things in delete system call. There is a small bug. I fixed that in this week.
What is the problem?
Like when I free the pages, sometimes suppose I have to allocate pages. So when I free the pages, it, at the last level, both pointer points to the same page. Like there is a mistake on calculating the page index. I sorted this out, but now it works fine.
Okay. Okay, so it was just a programming error.
Yes.
Okay, it was not something which is, you learned something out of it. It's just like a simple programming error. Okay. Alright. Well, one thing which I do need from you guys is a copy of your presentation that you did. Maybe the virtualized systems class is more detailed.
Yeah, the report is more detailed for the virtualized system class, but the presentation for your class was detailed.
Okay.
Because it was later than the virtual system class.
Okay. Right, can you send me that presentation, because I need to present the current status to the Intel sponsors in early January.
You can also send the report, because we wrote the report in using paper format.
Oh, okay, that's good.
So that was 10 pages long.
But we need a devaluation to make it work.
What?
Basically, this kind of papers have like 5 pages or 6 pages of evaluation. We don't have any actually. So.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I think it's a bit too early to talk about, you know, what sort of evaluation you should be doing. But I do want you to have it running in your bag now, which is, how do we evaluate this stuff? And some of the ideas that we used in the soft PM paper could possibly use, but this is a new work by itself. So it may, you know, it may have other aspects that the soft PM work doesn't have that we would want to evaluate.
So this is a new concept, so what should we focus on, like correctness and then consistency?
You know, correctness is critical in this work, and so is performance. So both of them are equally important. The other thing, so there are three aspects that I see we need to be able to bring out, both in the writing of the paper as well as the evaluation. One is functionality. What kind of functionality are we targeting? Are we improving existing functionality? Are we equaling existing functionality? Are we providing new functionality with this infrastructure?
With this, from the user's perspective?
From an application standpoint. It's completely application, right? And that would serve as both the motivation for the paper as well as it will help to define what kind of workloads we want to use in the evaluation. Okay, so first is functionality. Second is correctness. Correctness of our approach, design, and implementation. So that's the second big component of this paper. The third is, of course, the performance evaluation. Performance evaluation can be a big selling point if we can show that you can get this performance, significantly higher performance using this infrastructure, while at the same time provide more functionality, enable new applications, or speed up existing applications, simplify the development of existing applications or new applications. Now the applications don't have to create files, they don't have to serialize data structures, they could just map regions, and that becomes atomically consistent and persistent. I think all of this needs to be running in the back of your mind as you work on this project, because eventually we need to set the tone and structure for the paper itself using these ideas. So one of the potential venues that we can target is the USENIX Annual Technical Conference, which is end of January. I'm not sure if we'll make it or not, but we can try. And if we want to do that, then that would require us to, you know, in the beginning of January, at least have some discussion about what the paper should be about. What do you guys think about that as a goal? You are more in the detailed implementation level than I am, so I don't really know if that's a realistic deadline.
I think we can, we may finish the system goals, but I'm not sure if we can.
The workloads and evaluation.
Yes, because we have like 2 or 3 weeks to complete the coding and everything. So I think we can finish the system calls by that time if we can do the PM map like in 1 week or 1.5 week, and then PM sync for another 1.5 week. But I'm not sure if we can do that.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's fair enough. Let's do whatever you guys are doing, and it seems like you're making good progress. And if we get there, we'll do the submission. But I do want us to start thinking about the paper, when we meet again in January. Yeah.
we have another conference in like 2 months for January.
Another deadline?
Yes. OSDI is in...
OSDI is in May, I think. One of the things that we could do is to send a paper out to using Samuel Tech, even if it's not perfect, to get feedback.
Yes.
That'll help us better focus our writing for OSDI.
So we can get the feedback from all the reviewers who are reviewed for every conference? Even if it's rejected?
Oh, yeah, yeah. More so if it's rejected. It's much more important to get feedback when you reject, when you're rejected. Otherwise, the authors will be really upset that I get rejected and I don't even get any feedback.
So, if some paper is rejected at the third level, then it gets 4 or 5, 3 and...
The third level, you mean the third round?
Yes, third round.
That the third round doesn't always exist in all conferences. And what happens? Two rounds is becoming more and more common. Sometimes it's just a single round reviewing, where you just get 3 reviews. Every paper gets 3 reviews, and that's it. The more competitive conferences now have at least 2 rounds.
Like the FAST one.
Like the FAST. And USENIX Annual Tech would probably be 2 round reviews as well. OSDI, maybe 3 rounds, as it's highly competitive. And once we got 10 reviews back for one paper from OSDI. So I don't know what is going on. Reviewer A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J.
We
got J, A to J reviews.
Minimum 3 rounds of review then.
Minimum 3. Yeah, so... So yeah, you get all the reviews back. I mean, if your paper just doesn't make it into the second round, you end up with 3 reviews. But it's still better than nothing. So, because we'll have feedback before the OSDI deadline, it's worth a submission to USENIX Annual Tech, even though the paper is not perfect. All right, so we'll meet again in early January. Okay, so I will be here, but I prefer not to meet. Just take it easy for the rest of the year. And we'll meet, let's see, what date do we have? Friday the 3rd of January. Yeah? And school starts on the 6th, yes, right?
Yes.
Okay, so what, I guess we already talked about what are the next steps, right?
Yes.
Okay. So Friday, 3rd of January. Let's meet at 11 a.m. Okay, good. Have a good break.
So for the next semester, I just wanted to discuss with
you. Okay, just give me a second. Let me stop this. Okay.